This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We did determine it was Kevin Brown's radio partner or television partner, Ben McDonald, who fell out of the deer blind.
Yeah, Kevin Brown doesn't seem like a deer hunter to me.
I knew it was one of them.
We still do 4 hours on this show.
Yeah, we didn't change that while you were gone.
I've been gone for a while. I didn't know if maybe
something major time slot changes for the Ben and Woods program.
All right, well.
Across the pond, all the radio shows only 3 hours.
They do 3 hours, yeah. They make way more money, too, I found out. Way more.
To be
like
fair,
double what we make.
Oh. To be fair, I was gone last Monday on my vacation, and I always hate when I miss something Padres-related.
Sure,
and
me too.
I did miss something Padres-related while I was on vacation last week. I watched all the games, but when Alec Jacob came in on Sunday, I was going, why is Alec Jacob on the team?
When
did that happen? I didn't realize he was there, so I was surprised when he was coming out of the bullpen. Which also led me to be surprised, why isn't Ryan Burgert starting tomorrow? So that was the move I missed last weekend. They sent Ryan Burgert back down after his start and called Alec Jacob up. So I missed that move entirely, which is why Stephen Kolek is going to be starting tonight and being activated by the Padres to get the start in game two of the series against the Miami Marlins. So welcome back to Stephen Kolek. I feel a little more confident right now in Ryan Burgert.
Me too.
When he takes the mound, but you can't bring a guy back unless you make him injured and he has to stay down for a certain amount of time, 15 days in the minor leagues before you can call him back up. So it's Stephen Kolek's turn, and Stephen Kolek had some good starts for the Padres this year. They'll need another one as the Padres are going up against another tough right-hander in Edward Cabrera in game two of the series against the Marlins later today.
Yeah, he had, I think he left his last start early, missed a couple of starts before the break, had a, elbow, forearm, something. They are confident that he is going to be a part of the rotation moving forward, just gave him a little bit of extra rest, but he's another one of those guys, Ben. I mean, they've got a stable of these guys that are pretty nasty. They're building some really good pitching down in Miami, and he's one of them.
I think Stephen Kolek, in terms of, the Padres also gave him some time off, sent him back to the minors. I don't think anything's wrong with him in particular.
No,
he was just
ineffective.
Sent him back or, semi-effective at times.
Semi-effective, yeah.
And they had better options. But, this is testing the depth of your 40-man roster now, calling up guys. And,
The thing is with this, a game like tonight where it can bite you in the rear end is – Kolek has not been, outside of a couple of starts, not a shutdown type pitcher, and Cabrera is. And so if the offense doesn't score, Mike Schilt doesn't want to get to a point again, Ben, where it's 2-1 in the fifth. It's 2-1 in the fifth, and you've gone through the four horsemen last night, and, you're like, okay, are we going to do this again? So-and-so only threw five pitches, and yes, Suarez and Estrada were very judicious last night. They got through it without throwing a ton of pitches, which is okay, and that's what you want. That's fine. But Morahone, are you going to go to him again tonight? I don't think so. Jason Adams had a lot of appearances, as Jesse Agler just referred to. You're going to have to figure out a way to get it done with the other guys in the bullpen. But
that's why Sunday's game was so huge.
To
face a good pitcher in Mackenzie Gore.
Five runs in the first.
Put up a ton of runs. Get plenty from your starting pitcher and just use the back end of your bullpen. How do you avoid falling back into your pattern today?
By scoring a buttload of
where
runs.
you used your high-end relievers to secure a series opening win last night, 2-1. But how do you avoid the second game where it's Kolek and it's maybe Morgan and it's Wandy and Yuki and not lose this game 6-2? Mm-hmm. This is what we've seen a lot this season.
The pattern is really... it's laid out for you, and anything different is going to be an anomaly. If you can get to Cabrera early, that'd be great. That would be absolutely fantastic. But you do get the sense, if you win this game tonight, you will see, I would say, two of the four horsemen, right? Easily. You're going to see Estrada, and you're going to see Suarez.
Now, the Padres have lost the last six starts that Stephen Kolek made, beginning June 7th through his most recent start on July 5th. That wasn't bad in all of those. He had 5 2/3 shutout innings against Milwaukee. They lost that one. 5 2/3 innings, one run against Cincinnati. They lost that one. Also had some clunkers in there, including 5 runs, 4 earned against both the Diamondbacks and Nationals, and then 9 hits, 6 runs his last time out against the Texas Rangers. Probably his worst start of the season.
Yep.
And we have not seen him now in 16, 17 days since he last made that start.
Big star for him. Their offense is not, they don't strike the fear of God into you, but they are pesky as can be, and they'll get their knocks. And can you navigate base runners and things like that? Look, they're going to need to play great defense, and they're going to need to figure out a way to solve Cabrera, because he can be pretty nasty when he's on. And, it's uphill. It's an uphill battle.
Sure. Ultimately, though, 3-4 with a 4.24 ERA from a guy who's probably been your seventh starter this year for the San Diego Padres shows well that the Padres have been able to get enough pitching depth out of Burgert and Kolek and Vasquez, who again yesterday just continues to give you chances to win games. And I think it was our pal Tommy who posted earlier this morning, really long post about the evolution of the Padres pitching development over the years. And it's not simply just Ruben Niebla, although he's a big part of it, and I agreed with everything he wrote, but it's the pitching lab at PLNU, it's the minor league system, it's, AJ identifying the right players to target.
About some Ben Fritz love.
Ben Fritz love is great, too.
Always.
I think he brought up, like, Jeremiah Estrada as someone that scouts identified with the Cubs as going, they're not getting the most out of this guy. He's got really good stuff. Let's bring him into our system. Let's put him in the pitching lab. Let's get him with our coaches, with Fritzy and Niebla, and see if we can unlock something in him.
Boy, did they.
And they did. And they're getting more out of Steven Kolek, a guy they identified in the Rule 5 draft from the Mariners. Yeah, is he a star? No, but, he went from a Rule 5 guy to now someone that you can throw in there in your rotation to make his now, 12th, 13th start of the season for the San Diego Padres, And they've won some of those games when Steven Kolek has pitched. He threw a complete game in Colorado
sure
in that
did.
One where they won 21-0. I mean, yeah, it's nice when you get 21 runs of support. I doubt he'll get that today, but, he's had his good moments as well. And at the very least, he's eaten some innings, 5 2/3, 6, 5 2/3, 6. He's eaten some innings for the Padres, which is important as well.
Well, as Jesse just referred to as well, I mean, look, it comes down to the offense. If the offense can do what they're capable of doing, this team is really, really, really good. Really good. It, like you said, it was so refreshing to watch the grand slam, tack on an extra run in the first 5-run inning off Mackenzie Gore, get him out of there, get into the bullpen. Listen, they're absolutely capable of it. There's no question they're capable. It just doesn't happen enough. And then that eases the burden on guys like Kolek and Burgert. And then that's when a perfect lane for Yuki Matsui or Wandy Peralta. You're going to have to use those guys, man, at some point. Those guys are going to pitch big innings for you. Because with, how many games left? 62 games left to go?
62.
They're all big innings. Every one of them is a big inning at this point. So if the offense comes through, we win.
Usually.
Yeah.
I mean,
almost
all the time.
Almost all the time.
Has been
38-13 when we score 4 runs or more.
Been the recipe.
Yep. And playing very well in 1-run games, so they can win the tight ball game. But again, having to go to those guys again over and over and over is tough. It's tough. And I could understand why you'd want to, because I promise you, every one of those 4 guys today walks into Schilt's office and says, I'm good if you need me. Every one of them. Yeah. They all want the ball.
Even more home.
I want it. If you need me, I got you. You need me to get a tough lefty out? I'm in. And if you're the skipper, you're like, we need the series. You got to win this series. Who throws tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Dylan Cease.
Dylan Cease against.
Coming back after against Dalton Alcantara.
Sandy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, who's very beatable. Very beatable these days. So, but yeah, you have to win this series. You got to win these series.
A couple other baseball notes from yesterday, just looking around some of the scores from the league. Padres got some help from the Braves, who beat the Giants 9-5. Giants have lost 6 straight. They have yet to win in the second half of the season. I can't say I saw that coming, but hey, any help that the Padres can get is fantastic. The Nationals helped out by beating the Cincinnati Reds 10-8. Now, they built a 7-0 lead and barely held on, but any win you can get from one of the bottom teams against a wild card contender is appreciated. Did not get any help from the Rockies, who lost to the Cardinals 6-2. So St. Louis moved into a 3-way tie with the Giants, the Reds, and now the Cardinals are all 3.5 games behind the Padres for the last wild card spot. The Brewers, though,
they're unreal, man.
They continue to win. And they were actually getting no hit last night into the sixth inning, I believe, by George Kirby of the Mariners. Didn't matter. Broke through with a big rally. Ended up going on to a 6-0 win. It's their 11th straight victory. And very, the Brewers went from a wild card contender to the best record in all of baseball. They are now a half a game ahead of the Detroit Tigers and have the best record in all of baseball. So they're no longer the team you're trying to chase down the wild card race. It's the Cubs who are now in second place as they got beat up by the Royals yesterday. They're now looking up at the Brewers. They're now on top of the wild card race, which kind of changes the dynamic going forward. How much do you really believe in this Milwaukee Brewers team?
I mean, it doesn't matter what I believe. They believe. You know, they talked to Brandon Woodruff last night, and he said, "Are you surprised?" And he said, "Doesn't surprise me." He said, "We got a lot of great guys in this clubhouse. It's a fun team. I feel we say that every year. This year's a little bit different in a way. 60 of their first 100 games, man, with a, you know, depleted roster, guys leaving in free agency. No problem. They just pick up where they leave off. And I mean, their brand of baseball is a really, really tough one, dude. And Pat Murphy, the guy, the skipper, is really, really good. He's a really good manager.
I'll have to say that when the Padres went into Milwaukee, and that was in early June, played three low-scoring games, took 2 of 3.
Incredible.
I thought, Padres are, you know, Brewers are okay, but nothing special. Like, I did not see them all of a sudden becoming the top team in all of baseball by the end of July.
I did not either.
I really didn't see them winning all of their games against the Dodgers.
Swept them twice.
Taking the entire season series 6-0.
Yeah.
Did not see that. I mean, they've beaten some good teams, though. They took, 2 of 3 from the Phillies at the end of the... Or no, I mean, they've won some good games over this stretch, and they've been very impressive.
They're a scary team, man. And again, you know, they seemingly do this every year. They seemingly are always in it, no matter. They're like the Rays, right, of the NL. They're able to lose massive pieces, and they find a way to get together.
It's good comp.
They develop really well, and then, you know, guys are really rounding into form right now. Bryce Terang's got three. He's a 3-WAR player right now. Bryce Terang. You know, a guy that you probably could have had 2 years ago for nothing. And they're just doing a good job. They're playing really good baseball. And, you know, what Woodruff said, bro, there's probably 15, 20 teams in baseball. Like, no, we have fun. We get along. We like each other. Doesn't translate to wins on the field against really good baseball teams. However, it does for them. They're a force.
Yeah, they'll come to San Diego, second to last series of the season. So, you know, you expect they'll be contending for something. Whether it's a division title or a wild card, considering how well they have played so far. Also have a big series in the American League going on right now in the AL East, the Blue Jays and the Yankees.
Yeah.
Blue Jays have won again.
They're like the third best record.
They've won 11 straight at home. They scored 4 in the fifth inning to take the opener of that series against the Yankees. They're trying to create some separation now between the two teams. Remember, they swept the Padres. Now, they looked... That was like right at the beginning of their run, but they have since then they've looked pretty solid. They have a dangerous team, and they're now looking more like an American League pennant contender as the weeks go on.
No doubt.
Let's see what else we got yesterday. Mets beat the Angels 7-5. Paul Skenes, 6 shutout innings and actually got 3 runs, which meant he beat the Tigers.
I love
3-0 for his 5th win of the season. And Luis Robert has gotten hot lately. Did you notice that?
I did.
The White Sox to an 8-3 win over the Rays yesterday. Over the last 12 games, he's hitting something like 340.
Well, so think about what Gavin Sheets has done for us. Think about what Andrew Vaughn has done for the Brewers. They have not lost yet since they acquired Andrew Vaughn of the Chicago White Sox, who was terrible there. He's been lights out since he got to Milwaukee. So is the third time... You know, I don't want to say the charm because they've both been charms, but you go out and get Luis Robert. Is he a change of scenery guy? And I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of rumors of him linked to the team up north as well, that they may be interested because they're not getting what they need out of their outfield either in L.A. And, you know, Luis Robert on the Dodgers is a real possibility as well. I just don't know. I don't know what they're going to want for him. I just have no idea what that package is going
to
look like.
A few days ago, they were probably going to have to take a very low-level prospect and eat most of his salary. The hotter he gets, the more that they can pit teams against each other that want to get him and go, okay, now we want a prospect, and now we don't want to pay any of his money down because you both want him. So why should we offer anything up in return other than you give us as much as we possibly can get for him.
The guy is playing like he wants out of Chicago. Like right now, trade me, get me out of here. I want to go play for a contender. Obviously, he has a lot of talent.
I mean, the worst case scenario is you acquire Luis
Robert.
And
he sucks.
And then he goes back to being the worst player in baseball, and you had to kind of overpay to get him because he's been so hot the last couple of weeks.
Well,
that worries me. I was hoping he'd just stay ice cold.
And then if you get anything,
snap his fingers and let's turn it on. But he's done it a little early now.
Yeah, he's hitting bombs. He's robbing home runs. He's playing really good. He's fast. He's got all of it.
I'd be shocked if he's not traded.
This is his way out.
Yeah, this is his way out.
I'd be shocked if he's not traded.
He's got to be. Well, if they don't, it's just more White Sox malpractice. You know, they can get good players for him right now. And I don't know who we have to offer, but I'm sure AJ is asking. It's going to be an interesting one, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming apparent that this is going to go down probably to the wire next Thursday for the trade deadline. I mean, too many teams are still not necessarily sellers until they get a little bit closer to July 31st.
It'll be a long week, buddy.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten used to it. You know, I kind of ranted while you were gone. Like, I am so sick of talking about this trade deadline.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
We've been talking for a month and a half, and really almost nothing has happened because there are too many teams that are still thinking they're in it. So there's not enough sellers and too many buyers. So not much is going to happen.
What do we got? 9 more days?
9 days.
Yes, on the 9th day, it will be the trade deadline.
And on the 9th
7 day, more shows.
Yeah. I'll be in Hawaii for the deadline.
2 more roundtables.
I'm really bummed to miss both of them. You guys will be fine without me.
Like we were last week.
Yeah. You'll be good.
You'll be there this week, though.
Yeah.
For the roundtable.
Be there this week.
Yeah, we got a roundtable on Thursday.
Yeah, can't wait.
All right, let's take a time out. We still have a roundtable report to get to. Going until 10 o'clock. Brayden's show coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan. First, though, Woods and I want to tell you about Trust and Will. Did it without you while you were gone.
Yeah, did it without you when you were gone.
Message is just the same, though. It is a very simple process to get your affairs in order and get the peace of mind knowing that you're taking care of your family, whether it's with a simple will or with a slightly more complex but probably more useful trust that helps you avoid probate court, or helps your family at least avoid probate court and the fees and expenses and the time lost when you are gone.
Well, I'll tell you, man, turning 50, it's a big thing, and you start to think about, you want to make sure everyone's taken care of if something happens. It's a monumental day, and so you're on the back nine. You know, that's how I feel. But you want to make sure everybody's taken care of. It's going to be hard enough when you're gone. Make sure you go to trustandwill.com, use the code FAN when you check out, and they'll give you 20% off plus free shipping of your estate documents.
That's right. You're the old man now.
I'm the young
49-year-old whippersnapper.
That's right.
And you're the old man of the Ben and Woods program. Go to trustandwill.com, use code FAN at checkout. Again, get 20% off and free shipping of your estate documents at trustandwill.com. Is Jackson Merrill negatively impacting the youth of San Diego?
Why is that?
My hot take coming up here.
Ben
Woods. Got a roundup report coming up as well. Before I get to my hot take, I do want to remind everybody, you can grab your clubs and join us out on Monday at the 4th Annual Salute to Heroes Charity Golf Tournament. It's at Loma Santa Fe Country Club. Paulie and I are going to be broadcasting live out there. You can enjoy a day of golf, food, prizes, and camaraderie, all to honor local heroes and support veterans programs. Register today at SanDiegoSocialLeagues.org. There are going to be plenty of celebrities in attendance, including former Padre Greg Vaughn, Arabian Prince from NWA, former NBA star Olden Polonese, and boxer Zab Judah, among others. And we'll be interviewing some of them.
I will be missing
my
you guys.
Colleague Steve Lou, our design director at Channel 10, said, "Any chance I can give you a record for Arabian Prince to sign?"
Absolutely.
At the golf tournament, I said, "I can certainly try."
So you're now San Diego's concierge since I'm always on vacation.
Apparently.
Yeah.
The mantle is being passed to me.
I had to concierge it when I was in Manchester. You know, our friend Aaron Hurwitz DM'd me and asked me, "Can you get me an Oasis jacket?" I said, "Sure, I'll grab one for you. What size? What color?" I got it. I'll be delivering it to him on Thursday. Oh, I'm playing down softball. I go, "All right, I'll bring it over. Give me my 90 pounds back." And so I was concierging it up over in Manchester as well.
All right, Caitlin asks, I don't want to wait any longer. What is it with Ben and his hot takes this week?
Yeah, he's like Skip. You turned into Skip Bayless since I left?
Here's my Skip Bayless hot take. Jackson Merrill, love him. A little too liberal with the eye black. all over his face. And now he's impacting your son.
No, that's Taylor. Not a Jackson Merrill thing. That was a Taylor thing. My wife. Do you have the picture, Paulie? Did I send you guys the picture?
I saw it on social media.
Put it
yesterday.
Up in
so he was at baseball camp yesterday.
Yeah, Padres camp.
And Hannah said that it's the last time she'll be leaving the eye black in his bag.
Bro, she left a stick of eye black.
Left a 4-year-old alone with eye black.
In a baseball bag.
Boy.
And he went.
I'm pulling it up.
He went nuts and just started drawing like stripes all over his face.
He's like a zebra.
Yeah. The eye black is an interesting. It's an interesting thing. Yeah, look at him.
A big star on his left cheek.
Look at him.
And like a zebra stripes on his right cheek.
Just clutching the Capri Sun.
There's definitely going to be no glare involved for that kid at baseball camp.
I'm like, bro, I think that's politically incorrect to do that also. I don't think
he's one more stripe away from very problematic.
Like Al Jolson over here. I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
I think we're about to see Jackson Merrill with about that level of eye black as well.
It's on his chin. Like, it's everywhere.
It's in his hair. It's on his lips. Maybe on his teeth. All over the brim of his hat.
Dude, I am dying. I am dying. I couldn't. Hannah said that to me. I go, what are you doing? What happened? She goes, my fault. I left it in there. I go, it's not your fault. I mean, it's his fault ultimately for taking that, drawing it all over his face. But no, the eye black is a weird bit for me. I did it. I don't know. I've never known the purpose of it. It doesn't reduce.
You can't see your own face from your eyes.
It doesn't, in my opinion. It just looks cool.
It doesn't do anything.
But let's be honest. Let's come out with it, okay? Anytime I've worn eye black, it's so that I looked cool wearing it. And because I'm like, I'm playing a baseball game.
Like if you're really worried about glare and the sun.
Wear sunglasses.
Sunglasses work
way
exponentially better.
Just do a little test. Look forward. Tell me how much of your own face you see and the glare that is bouncing off your own face.
None. I've never
comes from other places.
I've never understood
your own face.
Now, again, then you see, like, they do the one where they go across here and then go down. Like, they go way down.
Well, Jackson usually does a big triangle.
The triangle,
like,
his
eyes.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
So Matt Schwartz says, Mythbusters did a baseball episode. They were able to confirm that it helps. That's crazy to me. That is crazy to
me. Goose says some people have chunky cheeks.
They do.
Glares off the cheeks. I don't know. I have to get really chunky cheeks to be able to see my own cheeks.
I've got fairly chunky.
I can't see my own cheeks.
If it's bright and you're squinting, you can get the
chunky
cheeks.
Maybe, you get your cheeks.
You know how you not squint? You wear sunglasses.
Sunglasses are just better. They're just better. It's just a better. It works. It's better than the eye black. But it doesn't look. It does look hard ass. It looks badass when they wear it. I've never liked anything superfluous. I just want the straight stripe across. My wife was doing cat whiskers on the kids. I was like, all right, it's enough. Let's go straight across.
I remember when I was younger, a little older than Taylor, everybody had, playing baseball, the fighting necklaces.
Oh, yeah. Fighting, P-H-I-T-E-N, yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's supposed to help with circulation and breathing or something. We're like, oh, yeah, okay. And
I had a bracelet. I had the necklace. I had all of it.
How about now? I imagine every little leaguer's got a sliding mitt.
Oh, yeah.
The sleeves, the elbow guards.
Yep.
They got it all.
Our boss, Adam, says eye black is just a scam. Yes, big eye black.
Eye black
is trying
to get
us to spend more money every year on eye black that is totally not necessary.
I just think it looks cool. I do. I think it looks badass. And if I was a big leaguer, I'd wear it every game. Every game. And the day, of course. Like, buddy, you're inside. Yeah, but the lights, the glare. I just think it looks cool. I think it looks cool.
Has to bounce off something and hit you in the eye.
Your fat cheek is what bounces off.
It's bouncing out, though. Maybe you're wearing it to protect other players from the glare off your
face. Your fat cheeks.
Maybe that is why you wear the eye black.
Adam Klug when he fills in for Paul, he can just eye black his forehead so the glare doesn't blind me like it usually does when Bald Rindel's in there. So he just colors in whole front end.
And then our bright lights that we have in the studio, now there's where the glare comes in.
Ariel Bridge says, I remember passing the eye black around the dugout as a kid. 1,000%! I made the mistake as a little league coach of being at the game. Bo was there. Dad, can I have eye black? Done. So I leaned down, give him the stripe. 15 kids now in line. I'm like, come here we go, because they all want it. It does look cool.
I never wanted it. I didn't like anything painted on my face. It made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, what we're saying is eye black is eye wash.
I like it, though. I still like it. I still think it looks cool. I think those guys look badass when they do it.
Eye wash isn't always a bad thing.
I love eye wash.
Even Jackson Merrill has admitted it really doesn't do anything, he says. I just wear it because I like to.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, the sliding mitt is a funny new bit. And especially in like Little League, where they don't say none of them slide head first. So that's funny. Number two, they can't steal like a lot until like after the ball crosses the plate. Like none of them slide head first. Like none of them. And they have it sticking out of their pocket and they all get up first. It takes 10 minutes to get it on. I don't even let my kids wear batting gloves because I'm like, you don't need batting gloves. You can't even get them on. It's annoying. It's annoying, but let them have their fun. Baseball's fun. Don't forget.
All right, Paul, you got the Rondle Report to wrap things up in our next segment. What do you got for us?
Let's see. Jerry Jones needs to just never get in front of a microphone again.
I think we all agree on
play
that.
Play some audio from him ripping his own players yesterday.
Oh,
and
there it was.
And then there's another story in baseball. We'll just say, he's back.
He's back again.
Oh, I like it.
All right, that's coming up next with Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. It's San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. A couple of interesting nuggets of speculation from our Linsider Dennis Lynn this morning in The Athletic.
I like now, nuggets.
Nothing here is like a rumor necessarily, but he is reporting what others have as well, that teams around baseball have shown interest in Jake Cronenworth. Now, that doesn't mean the Padres have any interest in trading Jake Cronenworth, but he's playing well and is viewed as a potential valuable commodity by other teams. Now, if you traded Jake Cronenworth, he points out you could move Gavin Sheets to first and Luis Arraez back out to second, but you'd still need to acquire a left fielder and a designated hitter in that situation. So you're just kind of taking away from one weakness and having to fill another spot. Now, he also points out that Jason Adam is someone who the Padres could make the closer next season if Robert Suarez opts out of his deal, but is also potentially a trade candidate. If not now, then maybe at the end of the year when he has 1 year left of eligibility, as the Padres could turn to younger guy David Morgan, Eduardo Nunez, Francis Pena, and Tyson Nabors coming up for more bullpen support and cash in on a very high-value commodity Jason Adam before he becomes a free agent in 2027.
It's a player option for Robert Suarez, right? Like we expect,
it is a player
we
option.
Expect him
he's
to opt,
opt out.
Out.
Yeah. Yes.
You can't trade him.
You could trade him as a rental.
You could trade him
right
now.
Right. As a rental. But in the offseason, I would fully expect him to opt out and try to get another guaranteed free agent deal from someone. Probably not the San Diego Padres, who aren't going to want to spend a ton on pitching in free agency when they already have a fairly strong bullpen coming back with some young guys and good arms that they can add to from within.
I mean, there's people, you know, there were people saying before the season, you know, trade Robert Suarez. There was some value there. There is some value there. He's leading MLB in saves right now. ERA is a little bit high, but he's had a couple of bad outings. It takes a while to whittle it down.
Like two.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It only takes two to balloon your ERA. It takes 10 to whittle it down to where you want it
to
be.
And you're going to be in, you know, whatever, 37 games. Much rather you have 35 really good ones and two horrendous ones than 20 good ones and 17 so-so ones.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, closer, if you're going to blow up, just blow up big and then be perfect the rest of the time, which is what he's done.
Well, listen, and again, you know, it's all about what the other team needs as well. I'm trying to picture the team that wants to trade for Jake Cronenworth. That's like, not saying he's not valuable. I love Crony. What team wants to trade for Jake Cronenworth that the Padres would go, oh yeah, we don't need him. Like we're as in it as anybody else on the planet right now. I don't think you move Jake Cronenworth. I don't think you move Robert Suarez right now. I don't think we're in that position to be unloading guys that are helping us win baseball games on a daily basis. I know that it's out there. I know that it's possible. I know that you can buy and sell at the same time. For me, I don't know, man. I don't look at it and say, oh, yeah, that could make us better immediately.
And one final note here from Dennis before we get to the Rondle Report. He throws in an idea that not not just from the Padres, but around baseball, is that with the A's out of it, a team may try to acquire Mason Miller, the closer,
yeah.
but then convert him next offseason to try to become a starter, which is where he started. He said, might Preller be bold enough to be that guy who acquires Mason Miller, adds to his strength in the bullpen for the next 2 months, and then tries to make him a starting pitcher next year? The price tag obviously would be
huge,
extravagant to acquire Mason Miller.
We don't have extravagant pieces that I think they're willing to move other than one. You know, Ethan Salad, nobody's trading for him. He's got a stress fracture in his back.
He might. I mean, the Nationals traded for Mackenzie Gore when he was hurt, and, you know, he got well, and he became an all-star for them.
It's fair enough.
He was on the major league team.
He had pitched in the majors before he had been traded, for sure.
So I don't know. It remains. It's going to be an excruciating 9 days, is what I'm saying.
All right, that's the latest from Dennis Lynn. Paulie, going to hit some stories that we didn't get to on our Roundel Report right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Roundel Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Roundel Report with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back, Woodsy.
Thank you.
Let's get started here in Major League Baseball. Yeah, he's back, except he never really left. Rich Hill.
Dick Mountain.
Dick Mountain is back in Major League Baseball, 45 years old, and he will be getting the start against the Cubbies tonight for the Kansas City Royals. Now, he's been playing with their AAA team in Omaha, 4-4 with a 5.36 in 9 starts at Omaha. And I'm reading from ESPN here. When he takes the mound tonight, Rich Hill will tie Edwin Jackson for the most franchises played for in MLB history with 14.
14 teams.
Damn near
that's half.
Half
the league almost.
Yeah. He'll also be the first pitcher aged 45 or older to appear in a game since Big Sexy did it in 2018, Bartolo Colon.
Oh, man.
I saw this tweet from Christopher Komka, baseball reference, Baseball Writers of America. He said, Rich Hill faced Jamie Moyer.
Okay.
Jamie Moyer faced Steve Carlton. Steve Carlton pitched in the same game as Warren Spahn. Warren Spahn faced Satchel Paige, and Satchel Paige was a teammate of Bill Gatewood, who was born in 1881.
Oh, my God.
Five degrees of Kevin Bacon.
From Bill Gatewood in 1881 to Rich Hill
now,
starting today for the Royals.
Who do they face tonight?
Cubs.
I mean, what are we talking here? Like, one and a third, maybe?
Say, like 1.2 innings.
Look, and I'll say this. He's obviously, you don't pitch that long without being an effective pitcher. We had him here. He was horrendous. It was one of the worst experiences
of
my
life.
It's
baseball. He'll throw six shutouts.
You know, his career, I got it right here.
Yeah.
90-74 with a 4.01 ERA.
Absolutely serviceable. Like, great career.
Yeah, better than I actually would have thought.
But I'm telling you, man, the Cubs woke up this morning and they are beating down Council's door to get in the lineup. I know he throws a nasty curveball, but man, if they go out and sit fastball, it's going to be, what, 82, 83? I mean, if he can mix it up and change speeds, and those guys aren't fun to hit, you know, for the big leaguers. They'd rather see Velo.
He's like 48.
Yeah, he was disgusting. Like, it was not fun to face that guy.
He's like a grandfather.
He just twirled it, man. Yeah. But I'm telling you, like, they're probably chomping at the bit to get in there tonight.
All right, that's it for baseball. We'll switch over. It's almost NFL season. Training camp's getting underway here shortly, and that means Jerry Jones is going to be back in front of microphones and cameras.
Is he about 82 now?
I don't 80, have his
82 years old, that's
age.
My guess.
Yeah, he's definitely in his 80s, no doubt about that.
But he was asked about a variety of different
82?
Players, and in particular, he was asked about Micah Parsons, and he's looking for a nice big contract. And here is what old Jarrett had to say when asked about contract extensions and if he's going to sign Micah Parsons or not.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously.
By the way, he's only four games.
I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out two-thirds of the year, Dak Prescott.
Oh.
So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
It's something that, like, he's not wrong. There's a risk in signing, you know, six-year contracts or something like that. It was weird to hear him, like, especially like Dak Prescott out of nowhere. Like, we're talking about Micah Parsons, and he's like, "Well, we gave money to Dak, and look what happened to him."
Oh man!
And he's taking shots at other players on his team. It was weird.
A real thing, though. As you get older, you lose some of your filters, and filters are important.
Imagine me at 82.
I know,
just yelling the C word everywhere I go.
Filters are important when you're in a public setting and you're a public figure and you're running a multi-billion-dollar football team.
The most valuable team.
You can excuse it a little bit for being elderly at this point, but how many of us, you know, out of our age, would want our grandpas running a major business
banking
at that age? Probably not that many.
Oh, how many grandpas left?
No, nor do
there
I.
There was. Glory hole.
I never really had a grandpa.
I'm sure Micah Parsons is elated. To talk about his contract extension with the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, he got hurt. I mean, guy got hurt, right? He missed games. It's football. It's very violent.
The fact-checking there when he was like, he missed six games. I'm like,
I missed four games.
In the NFL, that's significant.
That is. It's two like games quarter is of the season
huge,
almost.
Huge difference. Yeah. And then...
Just keep the Jerry audio coming, though, throughout the season.
Yeah. During the season, when he does his weekly with the radio station in Dallas.
I don't know if he does it anymore. Remember, he flipped out at him last year?
Threatening to get guys fired.
Yeah, I'll get you fired.
It was like Tuesdays.
There's no public relations team that would want to ever put an 82-year-old man out doing media for anything.
No.
But especially Jerry Jones. Yeah, no filter.
How old is Mick Jagger?
75, maybe?
I think he's older.
81.
Like 81.
Oh, my God. I'd let Mick Jagger do
it. I do. I would, too. Isn't it? How did he do this for so long?
I'd let him manage the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He could probably do better.
No doubt.
All right. And then finally, it's kind of sports adjacent here, but got a story out of Maryland where a firefighter, or a fire department, I guess, had to issue an apology on behalf of one of their firefighters.
This is genius.
For what he did to a group of Little Leaguers.
No, it was high schoolers, I think.
High schoolers.
Yeah.
They were playing a baseball game, getting ready to play a baseball game outside of the Silver Spring Tacoma Thunderbolts. That's the team. They had to cancel their game last Thursday due to a rainout. Except there was no rain in the forecast. And it was like a scene straight out of Bull Durham. Well, I can get us a rain out. So what happened was before the game, kids were taking batting practice, and they hit a ball over the fence that hit a man's car, his truck.
A fireman's truck.
It was a firefighter. He got upset and basically warned the kids, "Hey, everyone, get off the field, because when I come back here, I'm coming back with a fire hose, and I'm going to flood the field." He was so mad. People caught video of it. And he, like, has the giant-ass fire hose just completely drenching
dousing
the field.
Yeah.
And
there
he did not stop until the field was unplayable.
He did that from a long range.
Long range,
That thing fires farther than I thought.
Yep.
Wow.
Got some juice to it.
He's beyond the outfield wall. Like, he's behind a building
behind
the outfield wall.
I loved it.
Yeah, there was a guy, I think he was one of the coaches. He said, like, there's nine other leagues that use this field. We're not the only ones that hit home runs. Why did we get punished? Why were we singled out here? And the fire department had to issue a statement and apologize to the league. I don't know why. I thought it was really funny.
It's really good.
He was very extreme. He probably didn't need to do that. He probably shouldn't have done it.
I mean, he parked behind a fence at a baseball field.
Yeah.
That's kind of on him. I mean, there's got to be some sort of regulation against using, like, fire hydrants and fire hoses for your own personal edification.
It's like the guy,
that's just wrong.
It's like the guy that got mad at me on the golf course. I shanked one into his backyard. Remember that? Like, I almost killed this guy.
I was at the GOAT this weekend playing. And I was paired with these guys I didn't know, and one of them hit one across the street on 18.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I hit one down the left side of the fairway. I'm walking by. The other guy hit another one way to the right, his second ball. The guy in the house across the street is screaming at me, "Get a lesson! get a lesson. And I'm going like, wasn't me. I don't hit the ball out of bounds. Wasn't me. He thought it was me.
It's one of those. It's one of those things. It's like,
but he lives right on a golf course.
You live on a golf course.
Get some golf balls.
Balls are going to be flying near. The guy was in his backyard and I shanked one, bad. And I mean, you guys played with me. I've done it.
Encinitas Ranch.
No, I wasn't trying to shank it. Of course, but don't live on a golf course.
Supposed to aim at the house to the left. If I hit it straight, then I hit that house.
If I aimed at his house, I wouldn't have hit it.
Right.
That's how it goes. But thank you, Paulie.
No problem.
All right, gents.
Good to have you back.
Off to bed and find my luggage.
Do want to make sure everyone knows that tomorrow's program is going to be twice as fun for us because it's only half as long.
Really?
We are going to be leading into a very early Sam Levitt pregame show at 8:10 tomorrow morning.
Padres pancakes.
Quick wrap-up of yesterday's game, a quick look ahead, and maybe some don't do this, and maybe we'll move take on Woods a little bit earlier. But
Those will be two hours of bits.
Short show tomorrow to squeeze everything in, but we would love you to join us as we talk more Padres baseball, see how Stephen Kolek fares in game two of the series later today against the Miami Marlins. Good to have Woods back. Thank you for my beautiful gifts.
You're welcome. Enjoy them.
Poorly favored chips and an inappropriate floppy hat.
Hope you get your luggage back.
Yeah.
So Paul can get his gifts that are lost somewhere, perhaps in Turkey at this point. All right. For Paulie Reindl, Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Braden coming up next right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.